To make sure we didn't go through eternal damnation, which is simply the wheel of birth, life, and death again and again, with no hope of eternal life. Birth pain, then sickness. That's, you want to know something? I'll tell you something. Buddhism. The main precepts of Buddhism are as follows. They're called the Four Noble Truths. And you can just apply this to every religion throughout the world has had these four noble truths. They are, number one, all life is suffering. Actually, no, I can't really remember the Four Noble Truths. I had studied it in college, and it was, all life is suffering, life is transitory, life is basically birth, pain, old age, sickness, and death. Those are the truth. And that there must be a way out of the wheel of life, suffering, and death, and that way is the Buddhist Eightfold Path, which is right action. It's something you do to earn your way out. If you can just enter nirvana through your own strivings, then you can get off the wheel of hell. This is hell. Birth, life in pain, suffering and death. You can escape it if you can enter nirvana through meditation. In other words, through works of your own, through right action, right meditation, right thought, right walk, right this, right that. Eight things there in Buddhism. Okay. There is no way we can earn salvation because we are imperfect creatures and we do not get better in time. This universe is based on entropy, or the lie created in the garden, which is the second law of thermodynamics, which ensures that evolution is incorrect. Evolution is incorrect because the second law of thermodynamics cancels any notion of evolution, because nothing through time gets better. Do you understand me? It wears down. Therefore, nothing can evolve into a better or higher creature. The second law of thermodynamics cancels that. I don't know where we were back in science class, but it was very clear. They taught the second law of thermodynamics of the universe, and then in anthropology class, they taught evolution. Where the heck were we? Why couldn't we put two and two together? Well, we didn't. And me included. I sat there, you know, going, wow, you must be an expert, Mr. Teacher. Just like you. I did the same thing. Now, let me just say this. Okay, so that's Buddhism. Mohammedism or Islam does something very similar through right action, through just being a good person. You can achieve, you know, even through martyrdom, you can achieve these heavens, where there are the heaven with Allah, where there's all the virgins and all that you've heard. The again, it requires works on the part of man. Zen Buddhism, the same thing. You have to meditate until you hit nirvana. You know, another, again, action that you do to achieve something. Man wants to achieve. Man wants to build the Tower of Babel like Nimrod did. Man wants to build. And in building, we fail because we are not holy. We cannot build anything holy. We cannot go from unholiness to holiness of our own effort. It's not possible. Would you agree that if we're made unholy, that we cannot achieve holiness on our own effort? Something supernatural must happen to us. And that is Jesus Christ. He's not a religion. He's the truth, the way, and the life. And he's the only one that requires nothing from you to be saved. Now, why do you hate him so, world? He doesn't require all this strenuous stuff that man can never achieve. The same thing with all the primitive religions. They don't even think about this. They just think they're going to be disembodied spirits after they die, and go. And so they give them, they burn spirit money and have sacrifices to the elders who've gone beyond, and then one day they'll be joined, and then you run around as disembodied spirits haunting people. That's not the answer. That's hell. That's the wheel of birth, life and suffering, old age, sickness, and death. Again and again and again, that's what hell is. The very world that that Buddhism and Hinduism and Sikhism and Jainism and all the isms of East Asia put forward is nothing short of hell. They would admit this to you, that it's hell, and they got to find a way out. Only in very fallen cultures do people not try to find a way out. This is such a culture. Materialism has canceled any notion of that. People think, well, they're going to go off into a dream state and it's going to be fine. Let's not upset the apple cart while we're here. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't upset the apple cart in your own life, you're going to perish and you're going to be reborn into hell. You're going to be, hell may be this, again and again and again, birth, suffering, and death over and over again. That the Bible doesn't say that's not possible. Indeed, this life, so far as I can tell, is hell, what I've seen. Because in this life, you can walk around without God all day long. You can walk around without Jesus Christ. That's hell. Because I see suffering and cruelty, and I see death and old age. I see pain and torture from the womb on. Because this world was created backwards as a lie through sodomy, spiritual sodomy in the garden. That is what the Asians tried to get out of with Hinduism and Buddhism. That to get off the wheel of life, they call it. It's the wheel of hell, friends. And the same condemnation occurs here. If you don't get it right with Jesus, if you don't get out of here, if you don't find a covering to walk you out of this particular situation, you will go around and round in this hell forever. If you do start making your way out, i.e. abiding in Christ, they will do everything to block the door they can. They will punch you. They will attack you. They will persecute you. They will kill you. They will do all manner of things to you to make sure that you don't get away. But Jesus Christ is getting away. It's not abiding in the world. It's not. Well, you know, you can defend this, but you're just defending death. You're just defending death. Now, look, I'm gonna say something that's going to startle people, but let's say there is, hell is reincarnation, okay? You would come back and not have control of what you come back as. But one thing's for sure, you'll keep coming back and doing this again and again and again and again and again until you get it right. The Bible says that the gospel is not barred from Sheol. Jesus is not barred from Sheol, and so there will always be a chance in any hell for you to get this. This is what they don't want you to know, that this goes on and on until you get it and walk out. Anyway.
Of David, a psalm.
Is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?
He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior.
Such is mighty good news from our messianic brethren. Hey! Doors. My friends, I told you about hell. You know what hell is? I told you, hell is endlessly going around and around, living through lives and births and deaths and pain and suffering of every person you ever harmed with no forgiveness, perfect karma, one-to-one law. That is hell. The law is hell. And Jesus came to make the new law, which is the covenant in him. Any who believe on him, any who abide in him, any that believe on his name shall be saved. And thou shalt not have any other gods but Jesus. And if you believe in him, you would worship him. If you believe in him, you would be separate from the world, because the world requires worship of Satan to be a member. So you would go to Jesus, who would cover you and get you out of here. Friends, it's not about being so much of a good steward here. You know, it's about overcoming here. That's when God says, great job, good and faithful servant, because you overcame. That is what the scripture says. That is the intent of the situation. I was going to do some scripture reading, but in these messages, it's kind of a pep talk. He who overcomes, book of Revelation. We've been doing a study here in Revelation 12, 13, 14, all the way to the end. And it's been marvelous in our little fellowship group, that loose-knit group here in New Mexico that's forming. And the Lord has it on my heart to instruct you to go to Matthew 24 and Luke 21, and then Revelation 13 through 22. That will give you a great perspective if you do it in that order. Matthew, Luke, then Rev. And then Malachi, Zephaniah. Isaiah where it pertains to the day of the Lord. Look at Isaiah 13 as it pertains to Iraq at this current time. But we're truly going into a time of absolute mortal terror for this earth. Mortal terror, I tell you. This is hell. I had a dream once, and I shared it online with you, that this was hell, that I had done something to get here into hell somehow. And when I've analyzed it as the reversal, the lie, sodomy in the garden, doesn't that seem like hell? Wouldn't that be hell, perverting everything that God loves? Isn't that it? And why so much opposition when you start walking out of here, and the only way you can is in Jesus? Why so much opposition? Why did Nero light his gardens with human sacrifices of Christians burning at the stake to light his gardens at night? Why would he do that? What made him so irate as to clothe people in dog skins so they could throw them to the lions and they'd be tasty? Why would they do that? Why Christians? What was the threat? It was not a political threat, my friends. Anyone who strives to walk out... Listen, Buddhism will never let you out of here, because you have to go to a master. That master will make sure you go in circles and you will never find your way out. Besides that, without Jesus, it's all your own effort, so you can't find your way out. There is nothing we can do to get out of here. We cannot overcome our sin. Only he can let our sins go as we abide in him. Those of you who are sinning with the world, whose heart was with Jesus, don't worry about it. You're being walked out. You're going to walk out of there. One day you'll say goodbye to those people. They will persecute you. But don't worry right now. If you've given your heart to the Lord and you're afraid and you're intimidated, don't worry about it. You'll make it. Don't worry about your sinning. Don't worry about your actions right now. You'll make it. You believe on his name. You want him. If you want God, you'll have him. He will get you out of here. If you don't make it, you will go around and around living every life there is. Master, slave, hero, villain, insignificant, mover and shaker, all suffer, friends. And a lot of people just aren't ready to go with the Lord. They want to keep going until they win. They want another life. Well, I can tell you this. The wheel of life and death, and life and death is just the wheel of death. Therefore, it's hell. Not reincarnation, but it is what's described in the Hindu and Buddhist scriptures. It is that. So we're in concordance on that. I have proved it. Have I not? I have proved. I have synthesized and syncretized this particular doctrine of hell to include all religions of the world. The doctrine of reincarnation is the doctrine of hell, friends. And any Buddhist and any Hindu would tell you that's true. The Hindu would say it's the world of samsara and ignorance. And the Buddhist would tell you it's the wheel of life, which is really the wheel of pain. The Tibetans and all these other so-called esoteric groups only became sorcerers, friends. They'll admit that to you. They don't want a way out yet. If you don't want a way out, if you want this, you'll go around and around. Death, birth, death, birth, death, and endlessly with no way. But Jesus is not barred from Sheol, which we are in. And I'm here to tell you that we are already dead and in need of life, which is Jesus, the only way out. Whatever we did, it got us here. We need to find that way out. We need to wake up now. Oh, Lord, bless the lambs. Bless them and keep them. Bless all who are here today who are yours. Lord, bless them. I love you all. And I strive to bring you under the fold of the wings of Jesus to walk out of this wheel, which is true everywhere in the world, and all will admit this is true what I say. Amen.
This is my song, my sweet song to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. This is my song, my sweet song to me. How great
okay, so we were talking about life. We were talking about the Hindu and the Buddhist and the fact that the life we live here is hell, because without Jesus Christ, if you, look, here is it in a nutshell. Garlands of flowers? No, I don't think so. that's a joke about the guru and the garlands of flowers and the adoration and all that. And he never leads you out, you see. He only leads you into more adoration of him. Garlands of flowers and millions of dollars in ashram. But the Hindus are guarding a certain secret. And the same with the Buddhists. Buddhism came after Hinduism. The way it worked, actually, in the very civilized East Asia, extremely civilized from the Aryan culture of the Indus Valley. Oh, yes. They know of Brahman. But the problem is, you see, it became perverted with the idea that Atman equals Brahman, which is not true. That particular axiom, micro equal macro, is what all the physicists got onto, and that's not true for them either. So they're lost, dithering in the wind, dithering and dallying with no possible future. You understand me? Their work is bankrupt. They can't ever explain this universe to you, and they never will. They're paid not... Oh, man, if you could just see from where I see, you could see it all. Would you want to see? Yes, because it leads to one conclusion. You need a way out of here. Man, you need a way out of here! That's a strange night. Well, let me describe this. The snow is piled up inches and inches and inches. I mean, it's not quite feet thick, but it's a beautiful, we're up at 7,000 feet and the snow is everywhere on the adobe and on all the pinyon trees, and it's God's beauty. Everywhere you look, I just came down from 10,000 feet. I was up at the mountain checking out a trail that leads to a lake, which happens to be right where, at the base of where there's a whole UFO thing, a whole Watchers underground facility. No, I don't want to hike to that, but I'm to put them on notice. They're about to be burned out of their little caverns, okay? Anyway, back to Hinduism and Buddhism. I know a little something about it. And I could tell you this. The idea that the wheel of life, that all life is birth in suffering, and life in suffering and pain and sickness and old age and death. That is a true axiom. But the second part of the Buddhist axiom is the Eightfold Path, which is right action, right karma, right this, right that. In other words, something you do. You cannot earn salvation through works. Yet faith without works is dead, it says in the book of James. But you see, works is a fruit of faith. The Christian church in America missed it, this entirely. The entire Christian church. Therefore, there's about 0.1% that understands what's going on. This is hell. I see there. This is hell. This is hell. When you die, you will go to that according to your death and your birth. You will come back again and again and again. Do you remember in the Bible when it said, "Are you Elijah?" to Jesus? Because, see, they were well aware of this idea that it comes, people come back again and again. Then they buried it from you. It's there in the Bible, but you have to really glean it. People do come back again and again. It's true. It's biblical. Why in the world would someone say, "Are you Elijah?" if that doctrine from the Old Testament wasn't true? They come back. Why would someone say during the Transfiguration in Matthew, when Jesus and Moses and Elijah were there, they come back again and again and again, unless you, by abiding in the Lord, get out and walk through the door out. You remember the movie The Truman Show? Probably not. Well, go rent it. In the end, he finally figured out he was on stage and he was being manipulated. Call all the director and all those people demons. He finally walked to the edge of the sea, and where what was there out there? A door. The door led out, and he walked out. Jesus is our door. You must, if you don't walk out of here, you will go around again and again and again. This is hell. When you're born, you suffer. Your mother suffers. When you go through life in school, you suffer. When you go down to the bar or the club, you suffer. Because why? They got to heap it on somebody. Man! You understand me? I hope you do. Jesus is the only door out worldwide. Now listen, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, Buddhists, you're closer to this. There are more real Christians outside Christianity in Buddhism, in Hinduism, in Islam, and in Judaism than there are in Christendom. The Christians have sold out Jesus. They are not Christians. There are more people that are Christ-like outside. They understand you must quench desire. You must go for holiness, but you can't do it without Jesus because it's not holy. Man without the Lord will seek to defile everything there is. His wife, his children, his institutions, his churches, his numbering system, his science, his knowledge will be faulty, and he will self-destruct if he doesn't get the way out. And then he will be not reborn, but he will do it again and again. Consecutively? No, stacked. He is doing it now. I exist outside of time and space. Yet I have a body here and I'm talking to you. But I don't abide in this body at all. I disdain it. I disdain the world. Why? I cannot embrace a world based on hatred, which is this world. I cannot embrace a world based on sodomy, which is this world. I cannot embrace a world that seeks to defile God as a way to move up the ladder. I would never do that. I hope some of you are hearing, because I'm going to sign off now, but I love you. Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. Lord Jesus is your answer. Jesus, cover them. Bring the ones that are yours out, because the ones who were not chosen from the foundation are not yours. Let them go. Amen.